Now, the United States and Russia can be strategic rivals. So can the United States and China. In recent months, U.S.-Chinese ties have been particularly strained. China's president will be in Washington next week for an international summit on nuclear security. While he's here, he will meet with President Obama. NPR's Anthony Kuhn looks at some of the issues on the table.
China's explanation for the chill in recent relations is that by meeting with Tibetan religious leader the Dalai Lama and selling arms to Taiwan, President Obama and his administration have trampled on China's core national interests, a term Chinese officials have been using a lot these days to denote issues they see as non-negotiable. But Vice Foreign Minister Cui Tiankai told reporters this week that the two presidents addressed those concerns in a phone call last Friday. The two leaders reached a new and important consensus on U.S.-China relations and other matters of common concern, Cui said. They agreed to respect each other's core interests, appropriately handle disputes and sensitive issues, and increase dialogue and cooperation in all areas. China's strongest response to the arms sales was to threaten unprecedented sanctions against Boeing, Raytheon, and other companies involved. Some experts believe that for now, Beijing may hold off on sanctions. Li Hong, Secretary General of the China Arms Control and Disarmament Association, a think tank under the foreign ministry, explains.
This time we've just put out a warning. These companies should consider the results of their actions. If these companies aren't actually blacklisted, it's because China has made a concession in the interest of friendly ties and trade relations with the U.S.
Li says that President Hu's attendance at next week's nuclear security summit is an important sign of reviving ties with the U.S. The newly released U.S. Nuclear Posture Review calls for stable strategic ties with China. Li Hong says Chinese experts are pleased with that, but they think the U.S. should have renounced nuclear first strikes against all countries, not just non-nuclear ones.
China is not among the countries the U.S. has said it will not attack. It is a nuclear power, and therefore it still faces some threat from the U.S. So I don't think there has been any change in the basic content of the U.S.'s nuclear posture.
Meanwhile, Washington has given Beijing time to decide whether to let its currency, the yuan or renminbi, strengthen against the dollar. Beijing has hinted that it may allow a modest appreciation. But Carnegie Endowment for International Peace economist Michael Pattis argues that right now both the U.S. and Chinese governments are more concerned with boosting GDP growth and employment.
If you want to increase employment, you should do what China's been doing in the past 2 years. Reduce the appreciation of the currency, reduce real interest rates, and significantly expand credit. The problem is that all of those things make the imbalance worse in the long term. So the debate within China is a debate about short-term versus long-term.
Fixing the trade imbalance, Pettis says, will require more than currency adjustments. It will require the U.S. and China to change the engines that drive their economies. For the U.S., that's consumption, and for China, production.
What China wants to do is to increase the consumption share of GDP without penalizing producers, and the Americans want to increase savings without penalizing consumers, and both of those things are quite hard to do.
Pettis argues that any easing of U.S. and China trade tensions is bound to be temporary. That's because no country finds high unemployment and big trade deficits politically acceptable. And the U.S. now has both. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.